Our scripture reading for today is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and this can be found on page 473 of your pew Bibles. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Ecclesiastes 3 is all about rhythms. There are rhythms to our lives. Times marked by highs, times marked by lows. There's rhythms of pain, loss, and suffering. And there are rhythms marked by smiles, joy. So this Sunday morning, I'm going to briefly share with you one long 13 and a half year rhythm that changed my life. It's been said that you do not really own a dog. You rent them, and you have to be thankful that you had that long of a lease. This last weekend, we decorated for Christmas in the Claudita's house, and late one evening, sitting alone, kids in bed, the trees were lit, and everything was seemingly fine except for Charlie Brown. I want to share with you a little bit about Charlie. And then I just want to share a few things that we can learn from the text in Ecclesiastes. But I feel like it's important to bring you on this journey, not only for you to understand me better, but I know that everybody in this room almost has experienced the loss of a beloved pet. So hopefully this could bring some healing for you all too. Let's go back to the beginning. 13 and a half years ago, I had just lost Tommy the cat. Now, Tommy was what we like to call an alley cat. He was the kill everything and bring it to your doorstep cat. He was the cat that even if you despised cats, because there are some people out there that despise cats. This was the one cat on your list you not only liked, but you loved. Because Tommy was like, he was like a lion. He was like the mob boss of cats. And we had Charlie for 18 years. And we were all kind of lost when Tommy died. So shortly thereafter, my mother said that she heard of a litter of lab puppies in a farm located in Laurel Township. So we had jumped in the car and we went just to look. We pulled up, got out of the car, and there we were met with six of the cutest puppies you'll ever see. Now, I immediately asked the owner if there's any chocolate labs, and her answer was there were two, but one was just taken. The other had some gold running through his coat, and the other dogs don't really like him or get along with him. And I thought to myself, perfect. You just found my dog. So after some searching, I got on my knees and got under a pine tree, and I found the little fuzzy 6-week-old dog. So we were immediately sold, but now we had to convince Dad. And that was Mom's part. Here's how the phone call went down that day. Andy, me and Anthony are looking at a dog, and he's only $5. We're gonna bring him home. Now there's a famous leadership practice that I know we'll appreciate, John will appreciate. That's called the act now and beg for forgiveness later method. So we exchanged the money and we went home. Now, driving home, Charlie was sitting right here, and I said, well, we don't have a name, so I called him Bruce. And I don't know, I thought that Bruce would be a really cool name for a male dog, but you know, some of the characteristics of a male dog would be strong, fierce, protective. Bruce. Now, this dog was none of those things. So we had Charlie for a few days, and he was nameless, and people would come over and see the pup. And finally, I think it was a neighbor that screamed over and said, what about Charlie Brown? And it was just like the planets aligned. Charlie Brown. And he displayed all of those qualities. He never listened. He was hard-headed. He had a very, very low tolerance for pain. And he sincerely believed that everyone really liked him. So we then set up some serious rules to live by. They went sort of like this. The first week, Charlie will live in the basement and then come upstairs to visit when we're home. A few days after that, Charlie can live upstairs, but he cannot go on any furniture. A day after that, Charlie can live upstairs and sit anywhere he likes. And then about 27 seconds after that, Charlie can do whatever he wants anytime he wants. So there were three of us giving attention to Charlie all the time. It was nothing for us to walk him anywhere from 5 to 7 times a day. And if you think I'm kidding, ask our neighbors. It was the joke of the North Hill. We literally have done it all, and I'm serious. There were snowfalls, sheets of rain, lightning storms, heat, hail, and the Battle of Armageddon, even, we walked Charlie Brown. And as the years rolled on, I eventually moved out, but because of our love for Charlie Brown, he was literally shuffled between two houses. My family liked to joke around and say that we shared joint custody of Charlie. We shared him as much as possible so we could all enjoy him. And enjoy him we did. You see, Charlie was a bright spot for us, adding to our daily lives, conversations, and health. It was just nothing at all to call Mom and Dad, and the first thing to talk about was how was Charlie? How was he? Did he get in any fights on the bus? Is he still eating his homework? And like any lab, Charlie loved playing fetch. It was amazing to bring him to the park and throw the ball a zillion times. And every time you threw the ball, it was like new for Charlie. It was fantastic. But if you've ever owned a dog or currently own a dog, you'll know that it's not fun all the time. There's work involved. There are visits to the pet or to the visits to the vet. There's dog food, there's picking up after them, there's the occasional altercations. Charlie was great, but he had a handful of bizarre behaviors, for sure. And Charlie had a certain way of not getting along with any other pet. It didn't matter if it was a cat or a dog. He was fine with humans, but to see another creature would send him into some sort of frenzy. But Charlie was really the center of our world until children entered the picture. Charlie was an older dog when Isabella and Carmen came along. I think he was like 9 years old. And it took some adjusting. I can tell that he was hurt a little bit by playing the second fiddle. I was hurt a little bit too. But honestly, he still had more love than any dog that I could ever imagine. In fact, Isabella's very first stuffed animal was a chocolate lab from L.L. Bean over in Pittsburgh. And to this day, that's the very stuffed animal she grabs every night when she goes to bed. While I was writing this, Charlie was in his last stages, and I can remember just stopping and taking a break from this. And as I was walking through the house, I noticed his blanket. And I just immediately wondered to myself, what is life going to be like to walk through the house and see his items just sitting there? His chain, the box of treats, the plastic bags in every coat pocket, chew toys, his bowl, his dish, they're all just reminders now of what was. I mean, 13 and a half years, it's a long time. I'm not sure how many days that is, but it's a lot. And he was a constant part of our family. He was there during the good and the bad and the screams and the cries and the celebrations, the holidays and all of the regular events of life. He was part of our rhythm, ingrained into the tapestry of our lives. And that's why losing a pet is hard. The odd thing is that a hole opened up, a hole that I didn't even know existed. And that's the thing about dogs, is they just jump right into your lives, they jump right into your hearts, and they have a way of pushing and pushing and pushing, expanding your heart. It's like they're teaching you. Have you ever thought about the word dog? Is God backward? I wonder if this is by mistake, or I wonder if this is on purpose. But what I can say is that they display God's attributes better than you or I could on any given day. They're always happy to see you. There's pure love and affection. They love to spend quality time with you. They're constantly thinking of you. And they make you better. They make you a better person just by having them in your life. See, there's this place called the Rainbow Bridge. Have you ever heard of it? It's just this side of heaven. It says that when an animal dies that has been close to someone, that pet goes to the Rainbow Bridge. And there are meadows and hills for all of our special friends so that they can run and play together. There's plenty of food, water, and sunshine, and our friends are warm and comfortable. All the animals who had been ill and old are restored to health. Those who were hurt or maimed are made whole, just as we remember them, and they're happy and content, except for one small thing. They each miss someone very special to them. They run and they play together, but that day comes when one day, suddenly, one will stop, look into the distance, and his bright eyes are intent, his eager body quivers, and suddenly he begins to run from the group, flying over the green grass. His legs carry him faster and faster. You have been spotted. And when your special friend finds you, you cling together in a joyous reunion. Together again. In the song Walls, Tom Petty said, "Some things are over, some things go on, part of me you carry and part of me is gone. I really couldn't have said it any better. One thing that gives me an incredible amount of peace is that I know Charlie knows how much he was loved. And I also know that he understands how much love he gave the family. I started off by talking about rhythms. And these rhythms of life, they can change you. In fact, they will change you. Some it will harden, and some others it will turn into fierce critics. That is the common path of life. It hardens you and takes that once soft heart and it turns it hard. So there's just one point that I would like to leave you with. It is this. In spite of what life throws at you and all of the rhythms, do not become that person. Don't become the cynic. Don't become the hard-hearted. C.S. Lewis said it best. To love it all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure to keep it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully, round with hobbies, little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, your heart will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, irredeemable, impenetrable, because to love is to be vulnerable. And isn't that the most beautiful gift that our dogs and our pets leave us with? An incredible, vulnerable love for their owner. So as we leave here today, think about that kind of love. Think about your own life, because that's the love of God. That's the kind of love that Jesus walked around with, a vulnerable, tender heart. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, there is so much to teach us in life. And Father, what a great teacher we have through our animals, but the greatest of all is Jesus. Father, it's easy to go through this life hurt and jaded, cynical. So teach us again and again to have soft hearts. Teach us again and again to see this life that we have as a gift. Lord, we get one shot. We thank you for your grace in our life, Lord. Strengthen us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.